May 24, 1738. That's a long time ago. A discouraged missionary was participating in a worship service at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. This missionary had been serving overseas for 3 years in America, and he'd made a mess of his ministry. It was not all that he wanted it to be, and he was ready to quit. Well, the psalm for the day at St. Paul's Cathedral was Psalm 130. Let me read it to you. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Well, that's the psalm that was read that morning. That evening, this missionary went to Aldersgate Street at a meeting where they were reading from one of Martin Luther's commentaries. And John Wesley, that's the man I'm talking about, John Wesley said, "My heart was strangely warmed, and I saw that I did believe, that I did have forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ." He experienced the forgiveness of sins. Well, Psalm 130 helped to prepare the way for that experience. What is forgiveness? Well, to answer that question, the psalmist takes us by the hand and leads us to four very interesting locations. When you read Psalm 130, he takes you down to the sea in verses 1 and 2, and then he takes you to the courtroom in verses 3 and 4, and then to the watchtower in verses 5 and 6, and then to the slave market in verses 7 and 8. Would you go with me as we walk through Psalm 130? And let's go to these four locations and learn what it means to be forgiven by God. Let's go to the sea. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. At Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2, here's a picture of a man who is drowning, going down. You know, God made us for the heights. He made us to dwell in his heaven. He made us to share his dominion. But sin always takes you down. Remember that now. You never go higher because of sin. We never are better because of sin. We always go down because of sin. Listen to Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. He's talking about sin. Verse 5. O Lord, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. In verses 14 and 15 of Psalm 69, we read these words, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Oh, let me be delivered from those who hate me, out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth on me. I don't have to explain this. I don't even have to illustrate it. All of us know that sin drags us down. I notice in the book of Jonah that when Jonah ran away from the Lord, he went down. He went down to the wharf. He went down into the boat. Then he went down into the depths of the sea. Samson went down when he sinned against God. Sin takes us down. Now, the interesting thing is this. You can talk to God from the depths. I may be speaking right now to someone who says, Brother Wiersbe, I am down. I am so far down, I can't even see bottom by looking up. I want you to know you can talk to God from the depths. Out of the depths I've cried. Are you in the depths of disappointment? You can cry out to God. Are you in the depths of despair? Everything's fallen apart. All of your plans have been shattered. Nothing is working out right. You can cry out to God. How about the depths of defeat? You can cry out to God. the depths of defilement? Yes. Yes, maybe you've hit the depths of defilement because you've sinned against the Lord and you've sinned against those whom you love. Listen to me. You can cry out to God from the depths. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness means going from death to life, from going down to going up. Oh, what a marvelous thing it is to trust Jesus Christ and be forgiven. And then you're no longer sinking in the water and sinking in the depths. You have your feet on the rock, and God has saved you. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, we move into the courtroom. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. What is forgiveness? Well, it's going from death to life and going from guilt to pardon. Here's a criminal standing before the judge. Now, God is the judge. I'm not your judge. Your friends are not your judge. Your ultimate final judgment comes before God. And you know, God is a perfect judge, and God is a loving judge, and God knows all the facts. God doesn't have to be told anything by an attorney. God doesn't have to read any brief on the case. God knows all about us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we speak them. And he knows all about us. He knows all things. Doesn't have to call any witnesses to the stand. Now, God can mark iniquities. No question about that. In Psalm 143, verse 2, the psalmist cries out, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." That's interesting. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus Christ takes our place in the courtroom. I stand before God, and God opens the books. And God has a record of all of the sin. And then Jesus steps up, and he says, "I died for him, and I trust Jesus as my Savior." And then we have the beautiful experience of the forgiveness of sins because of Jesus. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, says Psalm 32. Blessed is the one to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Impute iniquity, that means don't put it on my account. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go from guilt to pardon and forgiveness. He was numbered, get that, numbered with the transgressors. That means they treated him like a transgressor. And God is the judge, but God sees the wounded hands of my Savior, and he knows that Jesus died for me. What does God do with sin when we trust the Lord Jesus? I might be speaking right now to someone who's never been saved. You've never asked the Lord Jesus to save you. And you're guilty, and the book says so. God opens the book, and there's your page, and on that page, the terrible record of what you've done. But suppose right now you trust Jesus as your Savior. What will happen to your sins? Well, John 1:29 says he takes them away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews 10:17 says he forgets them. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isaiah 1:18 says he washes them away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 43:25 says he blots them out, so that nobody can find them again. And the book of Micah, chapter 7, tells me that he buries them. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, this psalm starts in the depths, doesn't it? And now I'm taken out of the depths, and my sin is thrown into the depths, buried, buried, never to be found again. The courtroom, we go from guilt to pardon. Now in verses 5 and 6, we move to the watchtower. We go from darkness to light. On the walls of the cities, they had watchtowers, and the watchman would spend all night watching to make sure the enemy wasn't coming. Sin not only brings death, but sin brings darkness. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And here we have the watchman watching for the new day. That's what happens when you're forgiven. It's the dawning of a new day. This is what we read in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias is singing a song here, and this is what he says. And you, child, Luke 1:76, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Now listen, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. What's the day spring? The dawning. When Jesus was born, it was the dawning of a new day to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what it means to be forgiven. It means you go from death to life, and you go from guilt to pardon, and you go from darkness to light. It's the dawning of a new day. And then in verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 130, we go from bondage to freedom. We go to the slave market. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Redemption, that means to buy out of the slave market and set free. To redeem means to set free by paying a price. Did you know that sinners are slaves? One of the great problems in our world today is the problem of slavery. Oh, not the old-fashioned slavery that we used to read about, but people are slaves to food. They're slaves to sex, to gambling. Some people are enslaved to shopping. Some are enslaved to alcohol, to narcotics. Some are enslaved to work. Walk into a bookstore and see how many books are there for people who have slavery problems. They are enslaved to something. And sin does that. Sin promises freedom. It always brings slavery. Sin promises to give you freedom to enjoy. You always end up in bondage and in sorrow. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. He is the one who set us free. Merciful redemption. With the Lord there is mercy. You know what mercy means? Mercy means you don't deserve it. Someone says, oh, I'm going to work real hard and do real good and be real religious, and then God will save me. No. No, you just come to him and say, I'm a slave and I can't set myself free. I'm trusting Jesus. He pays the full price, and when he sets you free, he doesn't set you free empty-handed. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's complete redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. How many? All. All. For how many of your sins did Jesus die? All of them. Past, present, future. For how many sins will he forgive you? All. All. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And you know, he gives you back your future. A slave has no future. A slave is just bought and sold and bought and sold and goes from one bondage to another. A slave has no future. But notice what he says in verse 7 of Psalm 130, O Israel, hope in the Lord. What is hope? Hope means we've given you back your future. Oh, do you want your future? Then experience the forgiveness that God has for you. It's like being delivered from the depths of the sea. You go from death to life. You go from guilt to pardon and forgiveness. You go from darkness to light. It's the dawning of a new day. You go from bondage to freedom. There is forgiveness with God. That forgiveness is through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, will you trust him today? It's the dawning of a new day for you.